Hello, welcome to the Digital Prosperity Podcast with me, Will Williamson, and Dave Roberts.
Hello, and hope you're all well. And as you receive this podcast, it's been recorded at a time when we've just lost the final.
Yes, so I'm sure we're all got emotional hangovers. The less said about that, probably the best.
Need you to get over that so you can pay full attention to what we have to say today.
We're drawing a line over it. On the future and your prosperity
100%
in the digital world. Today's topic is marketing lessons from Donald Trump's failed blog.
Stay listening.
Now, right, so we need a disclaimer here.
Dave. Yeah, we do, Will.
This is not a political podcast.
No, it's not.
It might be more interesting if it was.
Yeah, it might be.
We could have a lively debate,
yeah,
for sure.
That's right.
But this is a marketing discussion, so we are not here to talk about the relative merits or otherwise.
That's right.
Of Mr. Trump.
No, not right. As you go about your daily life, especially your business lives, some of you are reluctant to invest in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you have invested in marketing and it hasn't worked out how you want. Yeah. And some of you don't know who to trust when it comes to investing your money in marketing. So we thought that this particular podcast we'd use to demonstrate why you've got to think and consider and how you implement your digital marketing strategy using factual evidence that anyone can leave this podcast and go and check for themselves. We are not making a political statement.
No, that's right. So don't accuse us of being, I don't know, right wing or woke or
that's
anything
right.
like that.
That's
we're not
right.
here to talk about that.
Yeah, we don't want
to some background on the story, first
yes,
of all.
Yes, go on, Will.
So, as we all know, Donald Trump was kicked off all social media sites, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. They all kicked him off start of this year, about
That's right.
January, February time, in the wake of the storming of the Capitol building following the election. So, he had obviously a huge following, and social media was a major part of what made him successful as a political candidate and powerful political candidate, and the social media sites, again, whether you agree with it or not, they pulled the rug out from underneath him, and he had no access, no platform longer. Now, a little while ago, he decided to set up a blog, and very shortly afterwards, he then pulled the blog down again.
Yeah.
And so that story has caught our attention because we have a blog ourselves. A lot of our clients have blogs. And so we wanted to explore, what does that mean? What does that mean about blogging? What does it mean about digital marketing? Donald Trump chose to set up a blog in order to try and recreate the platform that he had. And then it failed and he ended up pulling it down.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to liken this to a lot of small to medium-sized business owners who set up blogs as part of their website build, who have blogs on their websites now, and they either haven't been updated, the content is very generic. After a while, they just ignore the blog. And they don't know what a force of nature it could be in terms of growing their business.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that you'll be able to, once we've pieced it all together for you, be able to have more confidence in blogging as a platform going forward. So why don't we start at the beginning?
Where's the beginning?
Yeah, where is the beginning? That's a good point. Where is the beginning? So, I think the beginning is, you're going to say something. Sorry.
Well, yeah, so I was going to start with...
There's four reasons, isn't there?
Yeah, there's four things that to explore. So one is, Donald Trump is not your average small business.
No.
Donald Trump is a global celebrity, possibly one of the best known people in the world.
Yeah.
He is a major, major celebrity, huge political figure, huge public figure. And if you are listening to this, running a small business with a small group of customers, your digital footprint is going to be nothing like Donald Trump's. So you might think, well, if he can't make a blog work with platform, fan base, etc., then how could a small business? And I would say that you're trying to do two completely different things. What he was trying to do was different to what a business owner listening to this would be trying to do.
Yeah.
So what makes an effective blog for a small business? So a blog gives you a platform to build an audience, to be helpful, useful, and interesting to your customers and to prospects. It gives you a route to getting found in Google and getting noticed in search engines and driving traffic to your website.
That's right.
It gives you a way of capturing leads and getting the attention of prospective buyers.
That's right.
Early in their buying journey. But as you said, most small and medium-sized business owners often don't get their blogs to actually produce any results. They either start a news section or blog section on their website and then abandon it.
Mm.
Someone leaves, or they sack the agency they're working with,
mm-hmm.
or they just lose focus or motivation or get busy or whatever.
Mm.
And you know, you suddenly realize the last article you posted was in 2017. Or they end up on a bit of a hamster wheel where they're working at it every week, putting out new articles and new posts, but it's not actually producing it.
And so they end up wondering, well, what's the point? Or they do it because they feel it's expected. But the reasons that you outlined for why a small to medium-sized business should have an effective blog is exactly the reasons why Donald Trump started it.
Yes.
Yeah? So that he still had a voice. He could mm-hmm. still reach his people. Yes? He could stay relevant, and he could still be an authority. Because when you've got an effective blog and it's authoritative, it can take you anywhere, or it can keep you where you want to be. So if you think of all the people that started their careers and they're in the public eye now from a blog, there's lots of political writers who are now doing political commentary on TV who started on the blog.
Yes.
There's cookery people who are now on the TV who started from a blog.
Yeah.
Yes? So that's why Donald Trump thought he could do the same.
Yes.
But for the reasons we're going to outline, it was nowhere near the success. When you consider he had millions of people on Twitter, but those people didn't automatically go, oh, I know what, I'll go read these blog posts.
Yes.
That didn't happen.
Yep.
So what was he missing? Well, we're about to tell you.
Well, so... and I, you know, hands up, I don't think I've ever read one of his blog articles before it was taken down.
No.
But as I understand, what he was doing was publishing statements. So the blog was called From the Desk of Donald Trump. And these were basically effectively press releases.
Yeah.
So they would come up with a statement from the desk of Donald Trump. And that would get published to the blog. And they would also email it out to their various media contacts, etc. And the main goal was to achieve publicity in traditional media.
Yes.
They're looking to get picked up in the television stations, in print journalism, and also looking to get people sharing these statements on social media for them, people who did have accounts. And so the objective is slightly different for a small business owner. What you're actually trying to do is attract customers. Whereas Trump's objective is to get customers. And what they found was that by emailing their media contacts, they actually fulfilled that objective easier and better than publishing on the blog. And I wonder if those statements were not particularly interesting, controversial, if they were, perhaps you've already seen it on Twitter because a journalist has retweeted it or shared it or announced it. So why go over to read it again on Donald Trump's blog, and why, you know, if you were someone who was following Donald Trump, let's say on Facebook, you're not only going to Facebook for Donald Trump, you're going to Facebook for loads of different reasons, friends, family, loads of other figures that you might be following or media brands that you might be following or whatever. And you're there anyway, and Donald Trump's posts come up in the feed. It's a whole level extra of effort to then go and open up browser window and search for Donald Trump's blog and go and read it separately.
Yeah, and also in the Twitter, Facebook, etc. platform, what you just talked about the feed, but who was running his social media would know who to target.
Mm.
Yeah, it'd be targeted. That's how they grew over the years. Yeah. It wasn't just the people coming to them and sharing. It was targeted marketing.
Mm.
When you just put a blog out there without targeted marketing,
then
you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
And that's what Donald Trump did. Yes?
Yep.
You can grow a blog, but I mentioned blogs a moment ago. They were targeted to particular interests. Mm. Yes? Not just interested in the individual.
Yes.
It's about the whole subject matter.
Yeah.
And the individual just brings it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donald Trump is selling Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than anything else. So if he's going to do that, he's got to get his strategy right.
Mm.
If you're going to have a blog, you got to get the strategy right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it targeted enough? No.
Yeah. Was he clear who his audience were and what enough interest to attract them over?
No. And that's why it failed. Now, as business owners, the lesson we want you to learn from that is your content has to be targeted.
Yeah, it has to be a strategy. You have to understand it has to be a keyword strategy,
a
conversion strategy, a traffic strategy.
Yeah.
And you've got to really be clear on who your audience is.
Yeah, so let's just go through those briefly, Will. Okay, keyword strategy. In non-marketing terms, how would we describe a keyword strategy to the layman?
So it is understanding and researching what your potential customers type into.
Yeah.
What questions? Because these, you know, in the days before Google, people would have to go and ask experts to get the answers to their questions.
Yeah.
Or they would ask their friends. Nowadays, we all have a pocket computer.
That's right.
And we can ask it anything we want.
That's right.
And it knows the answers.
Yes.
So people ask Google questions. And if you are selling, let's say you're an accountant and I'm a small business owner and I'm thinking of changing accounting, I might research, for example, what makes a good accountant? How do I know my accountant is doing a good job?
Yeah.
I might be Googling tips to reduce my corporation tax, for example, if I've got a bill that seems unnecessarily high.
Yeah.
I might be researching alternative accounting software.
Yeah.
So it's understanding, and there are tools that you can search, how many people type these specific questions or phrases into a month, a day, a week. And that tells you what information your prospective customers want to know. And then in your blogs, articles, and content, you can then provide.
Yeah. So if you've created a blog on your website and you haven't created a keyword strategy, that is one reason why it would fail.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Because what a lot of people do is they'll just, what do we want to tell people?
Yeah.
And what you want to tell people is not the same as what you want to know and search.
So that's right. Because people aren't, this is going to upset a lot of you, so just hold on. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, they are not interested in you. They don't care about you. Okay, until them deciding on who to buy from.
Yeah.
That's the only time they care about you. Because a lot of business owners, they get all precious about things that aren't important.
Mm.
At that part of what we call the buyer's journey.
Yep.
Yeah. The buyer journey simply is they start from A and they get to B.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got to make sure that when they're ready to be interested in you, they can also engage with that content.
Yeah.
But you've got to have content that doesn't talk all about you, and then you've got to have content that does mm-hmm. talk about you, but in a way that engages with your prospect.
Yeah.
Not customer, because they're not a customer at this stage yet. Yeah. What's the other one, Will? I've forgotten.
Conversion strategy.
That was the one. Conversion strategy.
When people are reading your...
How could I forget that?
When people are reading your articles, they are not all just going to pick the phone up, because a lot of them will just be doing their research. Window shopping.
That's right. So, disclaim the claim. They all think they're going to... They're going to ring. Yeah.
Why aren't they ringing me?
Yeah. I'm sitting by the phone. I've even employed somebody to answer the phone.
That's because when you're researching, you don't necessarily talk to a salesperson. You want to get the information for yourself. And so when we implement a conversion strategy, what we'll try and do is have some valuable information have to sign up to get access to for free, so that we get people's contact. We get names and email addresses of people who are interested in solving the problem
we have
to solve as a business. So for an accountant, that might be reducing the tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the prospect gets some valuable content. That might be an hour-long webinar with loads of free tax. And they get to find out about you and the value you offer and how good you are and knowledgeable you are, and get to know, like, trust you. And you know who they are. And that creates a sort of a mini conversion, which then leads to ultimately them picking the phone up and talking to you.
Yeah, 100% will. And I want to make a distinction here. We're not talking about bombarding people. Just because you're giving your email address doesn't mean you're going to get bombarded with emails that you want, that you're not interested in.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two is that the reason why I say that is all you'd be familiar with giving your email addresses, yeah? And getting bombarded. That's not a good tactic, yeah? What we're talking about is respecting that somebody has given you their information and give them what they need rather than just throwing sale in front of them.
Be useful and be helpful. Yeah, absolutely. So there needs to be a plan of how you're going to get people from reading your articles to take some form of action, because they're unlikely to jump to buying your product.
Correct.
And the third thing is a traffic strategy. Now, the thing with the Donald Trump example is that I think if it wasn't for the fact that email was actually working so well, they might have continued to blog. But because email was working so well, they kind of felt they don't need to blog because we've got this email. It's so important to have multiple ways of getting your content out to me. So you publish an article on your blog, you send it out to your database by email, share it on social media, optimize it for Google, you can advertise it in other areas. So there should be a plan of how you're going to get that content in front of potential buyers.
But this is exciting stuff, Will.
Yes, because
this is exciting.
If you do this consistently over a period of time, and you need more than the month or two that Donald Trump gave it, then you can build up a really sizable audience and build huge levels of website traffic and lots of leads, good audience, etc.
What a lot of people do in business who haven't got the resources of Donald Trump, this is a lesson to learn, is stick with something, but not long enough, and then throw it away and say it doesn't work. What Donald Trump did was pivoted.
Yes.
Yeah, he still used digital marketing,
but
recognised what was going to work for him more effectively. Yep. And that's also what we're saying. Yeah, it's recognising what's going to work more effective for you and what won't work for you. But you've got all these digital channels that you can choose to do it from.
Yep.
But for you, a blog is a major part of that.
Mm.
And you should absolutely have more faith in what you can do from a blog for your business.
Now, there's something else in the Donald Trump story that backs that up, which is...
He's getting some flipping PR from us today. Old Trump.
Exactly. Well, we're trying to get him to have a link back to us. It'll be good for our SEO. might not be good for the brand.
But, no.
So it's this Joe Pulizzi, who wrote a very famous book called Content Marketing.
Correct.
yeah, the content marketing institute. Anyway, it has this principle of not building a house on rented land. In other words, what Donald Trump had done is built up a huge audience on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And what he realized is that he had no control over those channels. He had no power over them. When he did something they didn't like, they just pulled the rug out from under him. Right, so the other point about the Donald Trump example is not building a house on rented land.
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
So he'd spent all these years putting out all this content on Twitter,
yeah,
Facebook,
this is
YouTube,
the best point, yeah.
And overnight, it was all deleted.
Yeah.
He had no ownership or control over those channels.
Yeah.
If you invest your time, energy, and resources as a business owner, creating your own content on your own website and building up your own email database, and it's the email database that
saved
Trump and meant that he could still achieve his objectives. If you do that, you have control over all of those things. No one else can shut it off. And by investing in your own blogs, your own articles, your own content that sit on your website,
that
you become a media asset in your own right.
Yeah, and it will always work.
Yeah.
Given the right time, given the right strategy, working with people who know what they're doing,
yes,
it will always work. Won't work overnight, but it will always work.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to own what you have as a business. Everybody knows that. It's an asset. What we're talking about is building an asset that's actually worth something. How many blogs are out there now being sold for hundreds of thousands of pounds?
Yeah.
You know, when somebody comes to value your business, if you can demonstrate that your online marketing is as powerful as your offline, that is worth something to a prospective buyer. They know they're going to get customers from it.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump, the last point, Donald Trump built all his assets on somebody else's land. And when they said, time for us to own it, you've got to go,
yep,
he had no choice but to go. Think of all the billions or millions he's got, and he was powerless against that decision.
Yep. So that doesn't mean you shouldn't build up a Facebook audience, but in the long run, you can do all those things, but if you're building your own content, your own assets.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the lesson to be learned, if I may summarize, Will, is value your blog as part of your digital assets, yeah? And value what it can do for you and your business. And most importantly, value the time and the investment you will make to make it work, because it will work.
Yeah. I think we managed to get through that without straying into anything too controversial.
We did, Will. That's good for us.
Which is good for us. You take some reining in sometimes.
That's right. Yeah, I did. Do you notice I was good today, Will? Because it was such a... Now to talk, we mentioned Trump. I wanted to behave. Hey, for everybody out there, hope you enjoyed the blog. Keep listening and we'll see you soon. Right, Will?
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye.
See you again soon.